another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am your most gracious host, Constance Arnold, and I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor. I know you love that, from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I would just like to take the time to welcome all of my international listeners, all of my listeners in the U.S. and Canada. And you know what I say every week, that if you are listening to the show today, I know that you have been attracted or literally drawn to this show by the Spirit of God so that you can receive the very answers that you need just for your life. Well, how are you doing? Have you had a great week? And I got a question for you. Has anyone told you today that they love you? If they have not, I'm here to say that I love you and I'm so excited about the great possibilities and probabilities that exist in your life. Well, I'm doing really well. I went to Raleigh, North Carolina this week and met one of my listeners and trained at her company, and I had such an awesome time. It was really great, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I just want to talk to you about our new radio network. You've got to go and take a look at it, loaradionetwork.com. We have a whole new look, and it is so awesome, and our great leader, our fearless leader and founder, Jules, has done an outstanding job. So go to LOA Radio Network and take a look at all of the wonderful guest hosts that we have that can really begin to help you and to really pour into your life, influence your life, and change your life. Well, speaking of changing lives, I want to read to you an email. You know, I always tell you that I just love receiving emails from you. This is from one of my listeners. I think she lives in the UK. Constance, I'm writing to express more gratitude. I emailed you before to say thank you for guiding me to the miracle of my dream home. I'm really emailing you back to say thank you for everything. My whole life has transformed, and you have been a fundamental part of this. I listen to your show at least once a week, sometimes two or three times a week. I will listen to my favorite show over and over again. The courage, strength, and hope that you have given me has made my life unrecognizable. When I first started listening to your show, I hated my life. I hated my house, my housemates. I had acne, depression, anxiety, and exhaustion. I hated my work, and I was creatively frustrated. Now, after listening to your show, I live in my dream home with my partner. I'm full of energy and joy. I sell my art. I have an amazing band that performs regularly, and I am in a hula hooping troupe that will perform at the Olympic torch ceremony in London. My life has transformed beyond my wildest dreams, and I'm so grateful to you that you work so hard to create such an amazing show that can spread so much joy. You are really special, and you are an amazing woman. Isn't that awesome? And I just appreciate that listener sharing with me, and I wanted to read that because my very special guest today is going to be talking about how to create an amazing life, and that's just what has happened in that listener's life. So I want you to stay tuned, and after these quick commercials, I will be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
In all the years of doing Law of Attraction cruises, I've never been more excited about the one coming up in December 2012. Not only is it going to be an incredible vacation, and not only will you experience transformational workshops, but we are going to have a chance to experience a once-in-many-lifetimes event. We're headed to the island of Cozumel, featuring a trip to the Mayan spiritual ruins, where the phenomenal Lee Harris will be doing a channel right on sacred grounds. We'll be on this Mayan land just days before the end of this 5,000-year cycle, signifying the beginning of the golden age of peace and abundance. Join Lee Harris, Constance Arnold, and me, Jules, on the trip of a lifetime. Go to lawofattractioncruise.com to get more information. Join us in our celebration of higher consciousness. Go to lawofattractioncruise.com.
Well, I am back, and I'm really excited about my show tonight. My very special guest is Dr. Patrick McNally, and he is a doctor of philosophy. He has a PhD in psychology. He's a clinical hypnotherapist. He's a licensed NLP practitioner and a change clinician. He has practices in Sydney, in New York, and London. And Dr. McNally is a regular on radio and television shows. He has had a regular segment on morning television for many years, and he has a new book, How to Create an Amazing Life, and he's calling us all the way from Australia, and I'm so grateful to have him on the call tonight. Dr. Patrick McNally, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I love your Australian accent.
Yes, well, actually, Constance, it's a mix between London, Ireland, and, of course, Sydney. But when I do get to New York, it's amazing how your life changes and you tend to speed up into the city that you're in.
That's so true, and I'm so excited about you being on the show, especially after reading that wonderful email. So share with our listeners just a little bit about who you are, your work, and then we're going to begin talking about how to begin living an amazing life.
Yes, well, I've probably for more years than I can remember, which is 4 sons, 13 grandchildren later, about 3 decades, I've been working with people and of course, across the continents. And what you gain, as you know yourself, Constance, you gain an insight into how people not only feel about their lives, but what they daily think about from time to time. So when they come into my practice, the very first thing I ask them to do is to tell me what they've been thinking about, which is quite unusual. They tell me, especially the new clients, they come in and say, firstly, they come in and say, we've been told about you, Dr. McNally, and are you as bad as they say? Which, and I have to say, well, I'm not that bad. It's just that a lot of people spend a lot of their life unhappy. And it seems to me that when they leave me, they're not unhappy. And so my work is about showing them how they can change that with techniques that really do amaze human beings. And so I've collected those techniques over the years, I've refined them, and now I'm just absolutely pleased to be able to share it with as many people as I can.
Well, you know, I read your book, and the first thing you talk about is the amazing 60-second challenge. What is that?
Yes, it's a technique that's been drawn from four or five different areas. And it was a very funny story. A couple of decades ago, I was working with someone, and as you mentioned, being a hypnotist, and imagine having an Irish hypnotist. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like, and there was a young lady there who, she wasn't cooperating. And of course, she wasn't cooperating from my perspective, but we were having some challenging times. And I said to her, look, I'm going to attempt to do something different. Close your eyes and let me do this. And she said, okay. Well, I tried a couple of things and they didn't quite work as quickly as I wanted to. I tried another thing, and all of a sudden, this technique was born. It was born out of failure. It was born out of things that didn't work, and then we changed and did something else. And that was about 15, 20 years ago. And from that point on, I've refined this challenge. I've actually done this challenge now in just about everywhere I've been, from airport lounges. I actually just came back from Hong Kong and did one on an aeroplane because someone was having a panic attack. And the stewards were coming in saying, you know, is there a doctor on the plane? And every time that happens, it's almost like an attraction. They call me. Or they put the phobics next to me. Someone who's got a hope phobia in a plane sits next to me. I'm not sure why that is. but we did the in fact, I didn't call it a challenge. I said, just be quiet, close your eyes and do this. And about 30 seconds later, the man woke up and went, I can breathe. Thank you so much. And he was fine the rest of the journey.
So are you saying, Dr. McNally, that a person who's listening, who's been struggling in a particular area, can literally begin to change their lives in 60 seconds?
I am indeed, Constance, and I'm so happy that I'm able to share this with so many people, because it's really important that when we wake up in the morning, some people don't have the ability to wake up and feel totally at peace and grateful. They wake up and go, oh, I've got to go to a job I don't like. I've got to travel through traffic I don't like. I've got to sit in an office that I don't like, talk to people that I don't like. And then, you know what I'm going to do about that, Patrick? I'm going to repeat the process the next day. Well, I don't think you should. I think you should learn some new things and start discovering some new things. And the saying goes that if you discover new things, then you actually stop defending what you already know. And of course, I meet people every day who defend what they know. They say, look, I'm suffering from severe depression. And I say, what's severe? It's very severe, isn't it? And they are believers in the fact that they cannot get out of that. And I can tell you that within 60 seconds, I can change the way anyone feels on the planet in less than 60 seconds.
Well, we're going to come back to that challenge, and I want you to share specifically what that would look like to listeners all over the world. But first, let's talk about what keeps people from really living an amazing life. So many people live in mediocrity, and they live a very routine and ho-hum life. And I just know that we were created to live an abundant, amazing life. So what keeps people from doing that?
That's a great question, and it's something that I always ask my patients every day. What stops you from doing what you want to do? Now, a lot of people I meet actually don't know what they want. And it's an amazing characteristic. If I say to someone, would you like more wealth? In fact, a gentleman was in recently, and he said, look, I'm really struggling, Patrick. I'm just making ends meet. And I'm just making enough money, and I'm just getting by. Now, if you listen to those three sentences, he kept saying, just. Now, his unconscious gathered that information and relates it to, well, Frank, you only just need enough money, you only just need to pay the bills, and you only just do that. So what stops people is, without realizing, they've set up a set of habits that create dread, fear, in taking something from where they are to something where they'd like to go. So, you know, if you talk to the homeless, which I do on a regular basis once a month, I'll sit on a park bench with someone and discover how they made the decisions to get there. That's where I learn my techniques from. And people say, it's fearful. I would rather stay in the place I am because I know it's familiar than rather than change. And as you know, Constance, people do struggle with change, yet when they work with me, I'm able to explain to them that change is inevitable, like their bodies. I get a lot of people coming in saying, I'd like to lose weight. And my answer is, have you ever lost your car keys? And they look at me weird and go, what do you mean? Well, you can't lose anything deliberately, can you? But you're trying to lose weight rather than say to your mind, I want, which is always the most important thing, I want to reduce my size. I want to be slim. So I think the answer is the dread of change stops people in their tracks.
What about belief in childhood issues? What role does that play in people creating and living an amazing life?
It's important to understand that there are so many different ideas now about how to treat someone and help them. And some people want to go back into their childhood, and I have several clients that come through and always want to talk about their childhood until such time as I have to explain to them that in fact is now your history, and yes, it does have a bearing on where you are today. But if you want to work with someone like me, what we want to do is we want to make peace and accept that that is historic. And then we're going to look at what we can take from that learning. And the moment people accept that whatever their behavior and whatever the parents' behavior was or whatever childhood, lots of people tell me, they say, my childhood was terrible. And I ask them, how do they know that? And they run a comparison. Well, if you run a comparison with something that's better than what you had, you're always going to feel bad. So I would run a comparison with someone in the Congo. Those poor, innocent people who are dying and starving of starvation, well, I'm not, and my family are not. So if you're going to run a comparison, which is a human trait, I would also run a comparison that helps you. But some people don't, because obviously their physiology is moving and they're feeling upset. And one of the things that we have to do is get them into a centered, peaceful place first before we take on the past. And the past is very good for us because we're living as a being, we're living to create. And that's the wonderful thing about what we attract into our life, creation.
Well, speaking of attraction, let's talk about the law of attraction. What role does the law of attraction have in helping us to create an amazing life? I know you talk about deliberate creation and the law of allowing and split your day into segments.
Yes, I actually love this, Constance. When you work with people who have never heard of the law of attraction or what it is, people come in and they sit down with me and they tell me the stories of their life, and they think they can't fix it. They think that their life is terrible. And yet when I explain that that's what they've been thinking about most and that you're actually like a magnet, they just completely transform. Now, if you understand the law of attraction, what do you think about most? Is it the lack of? If it is the lack of, you've created a void. And the way you create a void is to think to yourself that you haven't got enough of. So, you know, I had a young 14-year-old girl in a couple of days ago, and she said, I don't like my figure. I don't like my body. My nose is too big. This is too small. And so she was consuming herself and creating voids and obviously had some body image things. Well, a couple of hours later, amazingly, she was happy with everything she had. Because what she did is she started to understand that what she was thinking about most were the things she thought she didn't have. And so the law of attraction to me is understanding that what you want most in life, you're able to achieve. You've already done it in your life anyway. It's just you're not aware of it. You know, you might be worrying about something and all of a sudden something happens. Or you think about someone and you haven't spoken to them for a while and the telephone rings and there they are. So you need to understand that your mind is extremely powerful when it comes to, in the mornings when I get up, I'm grateful for being alive. So that's the first thing, especially at my age. The second thing is I traveled to work, and in that travel time, I would probably have hundreds of CDs and listening devices, and I press a random button and something will come up. It may be the law of attraction, it may be physics, it may be anything, quantum physics. It could be anything, but I'm going to learn in that period of time. My learning starts in the morning. So my segments are completely different to most. Most people sit in a train or a bus or a taxi, and they're worrying about what's going to happen in the next hour. And of course, when they arrive, it's true. It doesn't get very good.
It happens.
Yes.
And so what about deliberate creation and the law of allowing? I think so many people are really excited about the secret, but they don't know how to deliberately create, which is obviously what you're doing when you're on your way to your office in the morning, sounds like.
If you're someone who wants to learn this, I've tried to make it very simple. If you're so busy living and dreaming and enjoying and feeling grateful for what you want in your life, you don't even notice half the things that you used to notice. When I have couples in and they've gone through maybe 10 or 15 year relationship and marriage, they sometimes start to turn their attention to the things they don't want. And the moment they do that, they're in trouble. So I take them back to the times, what were you fond of, why did you like him or her, and they start to fire off in their brain all those moments that they remember. Oh yes, she was like that, oh yes, he did that. And what they didn't understand back then is when they turn their attention from what they want most, you're going to arrive with something that you don't want. And that also taps into a very important thing, which is what's important in your life. Most people, when I say, tell me the top three or four things in your life that's most important, they never put themselves at number one, ever, which is wrong. They say, oh, my family, my best friends, my children. Unless they're number one, unless they're okay and at peace with themselves, attracting what they want, they can never be anything else to somebody else. And of course, in a relationship, as you know, it's very difficult to use the law of allowing when someone is saying something to you and you suddenly notice that your body is firing off chemicals that make you feel uneasy or upset. So once that's happened, you're not using the law of allowing. If you have a pulse, have an opinion, thank you and be grateful for listening to the opinion. But you don't have to take the advice. There are plenty of people that can share opinions with you, but you don't have to say, oh, thank you. But I don't really want to do that. You can just be gracious and say, thank you for sharing that. I've been married 42 years, and there's not a day goes by in my marriage where I don't discover something new with my wife. Something that's just come out and, oh, I didn't know that about you. Yes, I like this now. So we evolve and change as beings. So I think that's very important.
It is, and you mentioned briefly about being grateful and focusing in on that. Talk about the feeling of being truly grateful, and how can someone who might be going through a difficult time, a perceived loss, into something that's really powerful?
Yeah, I think that's really important for some people, because there's so many people that have losses in their life, and I meet some people and they don't know what to do about that perceived loss. But you see, if you use your chemicals correctly, by the way, you can actually change that. That's one of the most important things about our body. If you change your chemicals, now not a lot of people know it, but I imagine that when you feel a loss, you don't feel happy. Your body takes on a different role. And then you've got to start to look at what you want to achieve out of that, because your body plays tricks. And I suppose when you feel loss, you think it's real, you can actually change that around by changing your chemicals in your body as well. So I would always help people in terms of, you know, if they're feeling that loss, that there's a place for you to go through. You can go through those places, the sadness, the anger. I remember my mother passed away, and then years later my father passed, and I'm the youngest of nine children. And they said to me, we want you to say something at the funeral. So I stood up in front of over 500 people, it was, in the church. And the priest said, we've got someone from the family to stand up. And prior to that, my brothers and sisters have said, could you just write something down so we could just check it? So over the last week before the funeral, I'd sent them all these different notes about what I'd say about my father. And each one of them changed it. Now, every time I tried to change it again, they would change it. So, no, don't say that about him. Oh, no, we better not bring that up. And so, typical Irish. So when I got to the church, I got up onto the altar with the priest and said, "Thank you, Father, I'll start now." And I placed my hand inside my jacket as if to try and find the piece of paper. And I couldn't find it, obviously, because I didn't have it with me. And I looked down at my other siblings, and they had the look of horror on them, as if to say, "Oh no, what are you going to say?" They were so anxious about things. Well, 45 minutes later, and the church is full of laughter, clapping and laughter, because I wanted to celebrate somebody's life. And it was a celebration that went for 45 minutes. And afterwards, people came up to me and said, "That's the best they've ever seen." But it was real, because I wanted to turn something that could be very sad into the massive celebration it should belong to.
You know, that's just a great example. So anyone who's listening tonight, Dr. McNally, can really deliberately and make a decision that I'm going to be grateful and focus in only on what I desire, and, you know, just get a feeling of gratitude and already having it now. You've mentioned thinking a lot. Talk about the power of our thoughts, and how can someone who has really been battling maybe negative thoughts about finances or relationships begin to change that?
Yes, that's a really good subject. I'm probably one of very few in the world that, you know, when you meet someone, Constance, and they go, "Oh, hi, how are you feeling?" Well, I don't. I walk up to people in the street, normally with the film crew, I might add, and go, "Hi, how are you thinking?" And they look at me rather, "What do you mean, what am I thinking?" Well, I want to know what you're thinking. Because let's face it, if there's 60,000 thoughts racing through your brain all day, every day, surely there's a filter system. Surely there's something there. Now, it's interesting. I don't know the exact statistics, but I've been told that 3% of the world's population have all the health, wealth, and all of the things in place, which means 97% don't. Now, what do the 3% do that the 97% don't? Well, I'm lucky. I actually live and work in the 3% as well as live and work in the 97%. My celebrity clients worldwide have taught me more than I've ever dreamed they would, especially being a young man doing it first and meeting movie stars and thinking, "What are they coming to me for?" "I saw you on the movies recently." When you go to those 3% people, it's amazing, Constance, what happens. I discovered that the most important difference between the 3% who have and the 97% who don't have is what they do in the morning when they wake up. When they wake up in the morning, the 3% only think about what they want. So if it's a movie star, "I want another script. I want to go to my trailer. I want to have a magnificent scene. It's what I want." If it's a singer and a concert, "I want another tour date. I want this." Never on earth, and your listeners can pick someone who they admire and love who's famous, and try and imagine that person being a 97%er saying, Oh, "I hope it's not really bad today." And the moment we take that difference, 97% of the world's population don't ask for what they want. 3% of them do. And when I ask them why they do that, they say, "Well, I love what I do, so I do what I love." And the moment your listeners discover what they want in life, and it can be anything, from painting to helping people, it doesn't matter what it is. I had a grandmother who's a grandson died in a tragic accident a while ago in a train accident. And she spent the rest of her 5 to 10 years on the earth going around the world getting safety for railways. And she did this not only across Australia, but around the world. And she turned something from a very bad position where she thought it was bad into something powerful because she wanted to do something about things. So when you think about it, one little tip, by the way, is when you do think something negative, you should say to yourself, "Wow, that's interesting." Because the word interesting accepts the thought, most people do it wrong. They have a thought and they try and get rid of the thought. Well, don't get rid of it, because it's like swatting flies. And if you're in Australia in the summer, you'll see the wave when people try and eat outdoors. The flies are everywhere. It'll keep coming back. That thought will reoccur, and then you're starting the law of attraction on a thought you don't want. The word interesting completely and utterly nullifies the power.
You know, that's amazing what you just shared. And like you, Dr. McNally, in the mornings I really monitor what I feel and what I think when I first get up in the morning. And I was in my office today, and a young lady came in, and she's in her 50s, and I have a couch in my office, and it's sort of low, and she was sitting there, and I asked her to hand me a piece of paper, and so she, as she began to get up, she said, "Oh my goodness, this couch is so low. You know how it is. You get up a little slower when you're in your 50s."
Oh yeah.
And I said to her, "Is that what you believe and think all day? Because if it is, it's directly impacting your DNA and your cells."
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you just mentioned. Only put your thoughts and your feelings on, you know, what you want. Jack Canfield was on my show, and he said clarity is the key to success, knowing what you want and just keeping your thinking and your focus on that.
Yes, it's great. Jack's work is revolutionary, as a lot of people know. And one of the things you can do is you can use your imagination much more. The 97% of the people in the world who use their imagination use it, just like you said with the lady on the couch. They use it in the negative format without knowing. They don't realize what they're doing. And that's why your work, my work, Jack's, and everybody else's is so vital to share, where people, because when they understand it, they do. They make remarkable changes in their life.
And so what about visualization? How can people begin to implement that in their lives? Because you're so right. People don't realize that they think in pictures all of the time. So how can they change that from the negative to focusing in or picturing what they want? Should they set aside a time? What technique and tip could you give people around that issue?
Yeah, there's two things I do with people that are fast and sets them up lovely. One is when they use their imagination, they use their imagination mainly to focus in on the things they dread or they feel guilty about. That's habitual. They just do it. They can't help themselves. So one, I use the 60-second challenge to get rid of that. And also I use EFT, which is the tapping of the meridian points. So that gets rid of and nullifies that point. So then we begin to get grateful. So we ask, "Give me five things that you're grateful for," and they start to think about it. Now they change their physiology, as you know, they go into this altered state. Now, as a hypnotist, my job and my only tools is a chair and my words. So I'm able to allow them to go into that state, make their pictures, and from gratefulness, from peace, and just feeling calm and relaxed, we now want to see what's possible in our life. So let's start moving some pictures. Let's start increasing the size. Let's start taking the borders off and start to illuminate what it is you really like, remembering that 97% of the population don't really know what they want, because they hold back because of fear that they don't think they're able to accomplish that. So we have to break those beliefs down, and we use imagination. We clarify in our mind the thoughts, the feelings, the scenes. And, of course, if they're a very visual person, as you know, we can start to make great moves with that by just increasing the size of what you see. If you want to make yourself feel wonderful, think of something and see it, and then make it 10 times bigger and look at it in a surround sound cinematic version. Now, if you think of something and it makes you feel dreadful, reduce the size of that and shrink it down and move it away. And they're very powerful techniques.
Well, that's really awesome. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. Patrick McNally, and we're talking about how to live an amazing life. So, Patrick, talk about wealth. You know, globally, finances have really shifted tremendously, and people are really having to do a paradigm shift on wealth and money and God being their source. So what is your thinking, or what tips can you share with people in order to create an amazing life financially?
Well, one of the first things they have to accomplish is to make sure that they haven't got a belief that tells them that they can't make money. And most of the people in the 97% bracket have a view that they can't have wealth because somebody else has it. So they don't understand that wealth starts with well-being. If we can build wealth in ourselves and feel great, then we can start to look at a blueprint for wealth where we can discuss. I know so many people that work in organizations that would love to work for themselves, but they're afraid to move on and try their own business. And without going into too much detail, it's simple to go into a business of your dreams. You do it with your mind, and then you see yourself doing it. Then you feel the emotion of that. And then you begin to do it, whether you want to do a vision board, whether you'd like to keep talking to people about it. One of the great things I teach people is to tell everybody, tell them. And once you can start to talk to people about your dream, you start to convince yourself that wealth will arrive. Remember the man who comes in and says, I'm just making enough money. I'm just making enough money. The rhythm, the story people tell themselves continually needs to change. You need to stop the story, end the chapter on wealth in your own mind and go, what if I could have financial independence? What would that bring me? If it's not important to you, you'll never do it. So you need to make sure that it rises up into your importance, if it becomes a value to you. Lots of people want wealth, don't they? And they don't actually do anything about it. They don't make it important. So you've got to use both strategies. You've got to create the value. So what's important to you now? If we ask the 97% people, it would be themselves, their family. They would put financial security. Yes, that's financial security. But what about financial independence? Totally different. And so that's where your thinking comes in.
When you said financial independence, that has a different vibration to it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more powerful, and that's just great insight about wealth. But what about love or having great, amazing relationships in our lives? What could you say to people? You know, I was reading some statistics about the online dating industry and how it is a billion-dollar business because people are really seeking love in their lives. So what could you say to people who might be really ready to attract love, or those who might already be married? How can they continually create an amazing love life?
Yes, that's a great question. I did actually bring out a book some years ago called How Men Stuff Up Relationships and How Women Help Them. It became very popular.
Great title.
It was a great title, but people would buy it and just leave it on the coffee table. Because the art people put How Men Stuff Up Relationships in big print, and then underneath in tiny print, and How Women Help Them. Going on from that, when you have a relationship, if for instance you're looking for a relationship, here's what you should do. What you should do is you should have in your mind the perfect partner, not the almost perfect partner, the perfect partner for you. Now, whether that's a he or she who's 6 foot tall, 4 foot tall, you must be able to give your unconscious mind the message, because unless you do that, your unconscious is not going to start the vibrational energy flow for the universe to be attracted back. Otherwise, you'll be walking through the life that you have, not seeing and not feeling people. I had a lady who was in, and she couldn't find love. She couldn't find love. It was always bad. And one day, I gave her this tip. I said, you need to open your inner self. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, have you ever bought clothes, gone out, and then saw the same dress on someone and went, oh, my God, I've never seen it before? Or have you ever bought a car and then you've driven it out and you've gone, now they're everywhere. You didn't notice it. That's what you need to do when you find the perfect partner. You need to be able to say, these are the qualities, life skills that I want in a partner, especially today when we've got so many second, third marriages going on. You're going to have people, and if you don't list it correctly, you're going to feel sad because you want the perfect partner, but you didn't allow the fact that they have a history and maybe some children as well. And so you need to embrace all that this day and age. If you're in a relationship and it's, and, you know, it's probably a 2 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of 10, look at what you're contributing that's not working. What is it? What do you do? Do you get upset when someone does things? Are you noticing the wrong things instead of looking after yourself? In a relationship and a marriage, if you concentrate on your own life and then join the relationship and contribute 50-50 in good things, you'll find that you can even retrain your spouse to feel amazing because you are. If you don't feel amazing, don't look at your other partner in order to get your happiness. That's not what it's about. You're supposed to make your own happiness.
Well, Patrick, let's talk about some tips to making people feel amazing. What are some things that people can begin to do right where they are to begin creating an amazing life?
Well, I think one of the things they can do, Constance, is to look at what other people do and the people they admire most. As I said before, I'm blessed to be able to talk and work with superstars from all over the world. And so I model, I copy what they do. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just need to model on what they do. What do they think about? Read autobiographies of the people you admire, and you'll get an insight. I've read things like Winston Churchill and so many different varied autobiographies, and you get an idea of what they do. That once you start modeling, you'll discover that people actually plan their life. The people that you admire plan it. They sit down, they say, this is what I'm going to be doing in 6 months' time. This is what I'm going to be doing in 9 months and so on. And then, of course, when you use the law of attraction and all these techniques, you start to imagine it. You start to feel good about it and believe it. And, of course, the biggest thing is then you need to take some action. You need to make a move. And one of the greatest things that you can do is start to tell everybody. The moment you tell everybody, you have to do it. You know, it's like, wow,
right.
You see him at the barbecue a week. How's that going with that? So you're actually burning your bridges behind you, which is a wonderful idea. It just moves you along nicely.
And so I want you to share with our listeners tonight, Patrick. So let's talk about that 60-second challenge. What would that look like if you were working with a client and they came into your office specifically? What would you do in 60 seconds to begin to change their lives? And can people take this 60-second challenge and utilize it themselves?
Yeah, very much so. One thing I would say is if you're listening to this and driving a vehicle, don't do it at the same time. drive or pull over to the side if you want to listen to this, because it's very important that you just take 60 seconds of your life and do the following. First thing you would do is you would think of something that's troubling you, something that you're anxious or worried about, or maybe something in the past that you know you haven't got over. My point here is, if I were you, I would pick the biggest thing in the world that you just know you can't get over. You know, it could be a relationship. It could be what you did or you didn't do. But pick that. And once you start to think about it, the next thing you'll notice is that you'll start to feel bad, really. Well, you know, that's why people don't do the technique, because they don't want to feel bad. So what I'd like you to do is to think about it. And this, believe me, this will be the last time you feel bad about it. So then as you start to think about this and continue to think about it, I want you to start to notice where you feel it coming into your body. Is it in your chest? Do you suddenly feel it in your tummy? Anywhere through there, just think about something that's bad. Now, once you notice where you feel it, I want you to detect what direction it goes, because it does go somewhere. As with anger rises up through the throat. Now, this could be just churning. It could be in your throat or your chest. The next thing I want you to do is to notice, as you think about this, what you see in your mind. Do you see an image or a movie? If it's a movie, freeze frame the worst part. Take that image. Now, when you take the image and hold it, think about your feelings and make sure you know what direction. If it's going up or it's just sat in your chest, start rubbing your chest to the side. And as you do that, start reducing the image you have in your mind. Shrink it down to a postcard. Shrink it down to a postage stamp. Then you take a nice deep breath in and you blow the stamp away till it disappears. And then come out of it and don't think of an orange. And once you've done that, you can go back and you can have a look at that now. You can think about it again and you can detect how different you feel immediately. And that is a 60-second challenge. And if you need to repeat it, go ahead and repeat it. And if you need to repeat it again, repeat it again. If what you see hasn't shrunk sufficiently, put a border around it. Make it black. Make it grey. Shrink it and just move it away. But remember to move those feelings in your body the opposite way. So if it was churning clockwise, move your hand across your tummy and do it anti-clockwise. If it's going up your chest, move it down your chest with your hands. That is the 60-second challenge.
And so, Dr. McNally, you've seen amazing or experienced amazing results using that particular technique. Quickly share one story that sort of stands out in your mind of a person who is now currently living an amazing life because of some of the techniques that you shared with them.
Wow, that's probably the toughest question you've asked me. in that there can be so many. One of the biggest profound ones was unfortunately was a young lady that was brought in by her parents. She was only 15 and she had had a terrible time. She had been abused sexually. She had the last 3 or 4 years of her life since I think about 12, they told me. And, you know, when that happens, it's truly a difficult time for everybody concerned. Well, I asked the parents to sit outside. I did the 60-second challenge with the young girl. I did some EFT and tapped her. I did some more. I completely cleared everything that had happened. She then was able to speak to me in detail about all of the incidents without feeling absolutely one problem in her body. And within about an hour, we brought the parents in. And the parents came in and they needed the 60-second challenge. And it took another hour for them. We brought the sisters and the other relatives in and we took another hour for them. Then I did a group where all the people were in. And when we finally finished after about half a day, this child of 15 was absolutely cured of everything. She today is married with children and living an amazing life. And she's from time to time emailed me and thanked me over and over again. But those types of things, going from the depths of despair to something like an amazing life. She's now never been a victim. She never will be a victim. And she now helps other people share that same technique. So I think that one really stands out for me.
Well, you're living an amazing life, Dr. McNally, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I'm very blessed to. I live on a wonderful property with them. I have Clydesdale horses and talk about the shift in what we do, both of us as coaches. You know yourself, Constance, that you need to be able to move from what you do and be grateful. Well, when you have two almighty horses the size of a Clydesdale, and you take them for a road trip in a cart, I could take an hour and you could have walked faster. and when I take them out onto the roads, people stop and pull over and they take photographs. And it's just absolutely blissful to know that, you know, you can share. I mean, people stop and say, my grandfather used to deliver things with Clydesdale horses, the milk or the beers or the... So Clydesdales to me, and as you know, Budweiser in America, if you go to Budweiser, not the beer, but the adverts, you'll see they use Clydesdale horses. And they are absolutely beautiful.
Well, I'm just so grateful that you've been on the show tonight. So tell our listeners, how can they get your book? When is it coming out? Is it coming out in August?
Yes.
What is your website, and how can people contact you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we're having this wonderful, this is the first time to me. I mean, normally the publishers do it all with the other books, but this time we wanted to really do something special. So we're having a worldwide launch on August 28th at Amazon. Now, you can go to Amazon, and on that day, for that day only, you not only get the book half price, but you have all these other gifts that these other people have been so generous in giving. You know, so when you go to Amazon, it's fantastic. All you have to do is go to the website, How to Live an Amazing Life. And it's easy to Google, but you can just type it in, howtoliveanamazinglife.com.au. And when you go there, you simply go there, and you can see in the next few days, they'll be having it up, all of the different gifts that are available. You go to Amazon, buy the book. When you go back to How to Live an Amazing Life, you just type in your details, put your receipt number in, and you'll go straight to all these wonderful gifts. And they are, I've been looking at these gifts coming in, Constance, and they're fantastic that so many people worldwide want to join you in helping other people. I think it's fantastic.
And that speaks volumes about who you are and your own integrity and your own desire to serve others in a spirit of excellence.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We've had, I think there are 60 or 70 partners now, and it's gone ballistic. It really has taken us apart. I couldn't believe how many people feel the same as me, that we've got so much to give to each other. And we, you know, if you want to be rich in both well-being and happiness and in wealth, you must learn to serve others. That's what we're here for. We serve. I mean, you look at Bill Gates. He started off young, and he loved and he tinkered with little software, but he served the world, and he still continues to serve the world. So if you want to be wealthy in your mind, body, spirit, and in your life, learn to serve others and find your passion.
We have a couple of more minutes, and I can't let you go, Dr. McNally, I got that out, without talking about spirituality. What role does spirituality have in creating an amazing life?
Well, I had what I now understood. Was an awakening, a spiritual awakening. I didn't know this. I was busy having my life, living an amazing life, beautiful clients, trips everywhere. And I went to the Australian Outback. And the Australian Outback is in the middle of the desert, red dust, beautiful Aboriginal people who are fantastic and very spiritual and use the earth considerably. And I went there to help some tribes up there. They had some problems with young people, and the young people didn't know what to do, and they were taking their own life, unfortunately. So they asked me to go up there. I went there with a film crew for 10 days, and they documented what I did. We actually went out, instead of going to a classroom, we went out and we tracked wild horses. Now, the children and the youth loved it. The elders were loving it. We went through the desert, we rounded up the horses, we brought them back, corralled them up, went to the township, and the township changed overnight. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. And when I'd finished, this man came up. He must have been 104 years of age, because he was, I couldn't believe it. It was so small and gentle. And he put out his hand, he said, Dr. McNally, thank you for coming. You helped my people. And he shook my hand, and I'll tell you what, Have you ever taken the jumper off and got that sort of electric shock? It was a little like that. It sparked my arm, and I just thought I was in the red dust. I had boots on, and I just put it down to that. So we got in the plane, which the plane was actually in the middle of the township because it was just red dust. So we got in this little four-seater and flew off. I didn't think any more of it until I got back to Sydney. I got in the car and driving back, and I had to pull over. What had happened was a myriad of colours started to arrive in the car all around my body, purple, everywhere. Every time I moved my hand, purple followed it. Every time I moved every part of my body, purple followed it. So being an Irishman, I stopped and went, what the? And I luckily rang a few people and they said, oh, you've had an awakening, haven't you? You've been healing. And I actually didn't realize that that's the term. So spiritually then I went on this journey. I read everything I could for years and years. And eventually I discovered that when people came into me, I could see their aura colors. When they sat down, not only was I spiritually connected to them now, I was taking on even more in terms of, you know, someone the other day was in, a lady I'd met for the first time, and she sat down, and I said, oh, have you hurt your elbow? And she said, yes, how did you know? And I couldn't tell her. I just said, well, you were holding it wrong. Actually, she had a green aura all the way down the side of her elbow. And I just did some healing. I held my hand away, a couple of inches away, and just took the heat out of it, and she was fine. And so I developed these skills and spiritual nature, I suppose, because I'm really interested in the connection of our spiritual self and our intuition. And so I've actually continued that journey through understanding our guardians and all those types of things, and really so that I can talk to people. When someone comes in and they want to talk about spirituality, at least I can talk to them with a little bit of knowledge now.
Right, you know, and that's so true and so insightful, and I just had to get that last tidbit in about spirituality, because I think it is, I know that it is certainly in my life a major component. Where Dr. Patrick McNally, all the way from Australia, I understand that it is winter time there. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
It's -3 degrees. The frost is out, and the Clydesdales are actually running. That's how cold it is.
Well, you've been a blessing to people all over the world tonight, and I just want to personally thank you. It's been a joy interviewing you, and I'm going to be one of the first ones to really get that new book in August when it comes out.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Constance, and I just admire all the work you do, and it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Thank you. Well, once again, I just want to remind all of our listeners to really go on the website and take a look at the new Law of Attraction website. And additionally, I would love to hear from you. You heard the wonderful letter that I read, or email that I read at the beginning of the show. You can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And additionally, you can go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, if any of you are interested in coaching or me coming to speak to your organization. I would love to partner with you to make your next event a great success. So go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And remember that it takes, they're saying now, 7 to 10 times to really get something down in your spirit. So listen to the podcast again and again, and really take notes on your iPad or the old-fashioned pen and pencil and pad. Some of the things that really touch you that Dr. McNally said, that means that is the Spirit of God speaking to you and trying to download new information to your being so that you can begin to change your thinking. And so I'm so grateful to all of you. I feel so blessed to have a global family all over the world, and just appreciate all of you just listening. Tell 3 of your friends about the show, and I would just love to hear from you again. Once again, that's constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, it's been a real blessing for me to be with you tonight. It's always an honor, as Dr. McNally said, to really serve and to share with you, because whenever I give to you, it comes back to me just 100-fold. It's amazing how many miracles come into my life again and again and again just from sharing and just from giving to you. And remember that probably over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be teaching myself on 100 ways to begin to bring prosperity, abundance, wealth and love into your life. 100 ways to begin to bring prosperity, wealth, and abundance in your life. Well, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show, saying that God loves you and expect a miracle.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.